From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of August, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll hear an update of crop progress and conditions across Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota with the state statisticians from those regions. And then we'll return to the second part of an interview I did with Frayne Olson yesterday from North Dakota State University, focusing this time on conditions in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. And as we close out our time on this Tuesday, we'll take up the agricultural energy markets with Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day down a half cent at 5.53 and a quarter on its settlement price. The March three quarters lower at 5.61. November beans $13.36 and three quarters up seven, and the January 7.5 higher at 13.41.5. The bean oil 47 cents higher, and the bean meal for the day up 20 cents on the afternoon. December wheat rather up 14 and a quarter at 7.39.5 for the soft red, and the hard red at 7.26. That was 12.5 cents higher for the afternoon. Live cattle futures at 128, 12 and a half, 65 cents higher, 15 cents lower for the feeders at 163 and a nickel, and the lean hogs at 83, 87 and a half were down 72 and a half. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, now joins us to discuss a very quiet day of trade. Actually, Wayne, it feels like it's been quiet for a couple of weeks in the trade. Tell me about what's happened over the last couple of weeks or so.
Well, I think that we have been sort of quiet and bouncing around, and the volume has went way down. Once the funds rolled out of the July into the September or into the D's corn in a lot of cases, we've just seen lower volume a day and a little more erratic moves through the day just in day trading because the volume's low. But, you know, the forecast is some rains and some following along the way takes enthusiasm out about the rally. But the idea of it's still the big question mark is, will the East make up for the West?
Yeah, I guess we'll get to start to find out about that when we get to Thursday in the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report. And more importantly, the USDA NAS crop production figures. What are farmers telling you about their crop?
You know, everybody, you know, in our immediate area is very happy. I mean, I think that we're in pretty good shape because we're, you know, east of central Illinois, and we've got a tremendous crop out there, and it's looking good. We'd love to have another inch of rain, you know, to make sure we finish off strong and good kernel fill. You know, some of the sweet corn had the number of rows around, but they were very short kernels because we did a sort of dry spill right before the sweet corn come on that way. But, you know, good-looking corn, good-looking beans over here. But we still would like to have another rain here in August to help fill those bottom bean pods and get things going well. But, you know, and we see all the different crop tours out there. They comment a lot about the large John Dow Pond areas over towards from Champaign west to Bloomington in that area. Some of the areas up around the Dwight area in that where you can look across the bean fields and you see some lighter colored beans where they had some ponding problems and stuff like that. But all in all, I think we're going to have, you know, pretty big numbers. We're looking, you know, somewhere in the 49 to 50 and a half on the beans as far as the national average, and a lot of people really feeling the 175 to 177 on the corn as a national average.
On the weekly crop progress report, different report on Monday, which does not play a role in the crop production figures, by the way, that report showed a big increase in the Illinois figures for this week. Is that just because the beans started to look better, and as you had two crops that looked pretty good, things just looked better all across the board, do you think?
Well, I think that there were some places that had been looking rough. They did get some decent rains in between there. A lot more moisture fell. And I think along the way, just what you said, it just looked a little better. And a lot of times this time of year, things start looking a little worse instead of a little better because they're starting to, you know, ripe and turn. You know, when the crops are turning, why they don't look as good or healthy out there because they're dying and coming on. But, you know, like I said, Illinois did see the big bump. That was the idea that Maybe they'd have it get enough moisture for the kernels to fill, to get deeper, to do whatever, and that we'd see a little better crop. So that's what kept us in, what gave us the 2% increase, and what sort of kept corn on the in the red here for today, Todd.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 95% of the corn across the nation has silked. The five-year average is 94%. 56% of the crop is now in the dough stage. 51% is the five-year average, and 8% of the crop has dented. 11% is the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop, 49% good and 15% excellent. That's up 2 percentage points from the previous week. 91% of the soybeans are now blooming. 89% is the five-year average. 72% of set pods. 68 is the five-year average. And the condition of the soybean crop said to be 48% good and 12% excellent, the same as last week and well behind last year's 57 and 17, respectively. Now, here are the statisticians from Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa with their weekly updates.
This is Melissa Couch, statistician for the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office. Field activities continue to include applying fungicides and insecticides and harvesting hay and oats. Some areas of the state have had haying and grazing of CRP land approved in response to drought conditions. Topsoil moisture levels improved slightly in northwest Iowa, while central Iowa topsoil moisture levels deteriorated. Central Iowa topsoil moisture rated 83% short to very short. Northwest and central Iowa subsoil moisture both rated 84% or more short to very short. Corn silking or beyond reached 96%, equal to the five-year average. Corn in or beyond the dough stage reached 64%, 4 days ahead of average. 11% of the corn crop has reached the dent stage, 3 days ahead of the five-year average. Iowa's corn condition was rated 61% good to excellent. 97% of soybeans were blooming, 10 days ahead of the five-year average. Soybean setting pods reached 84%, 8 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition was rated 60% good to excellent. Hay condition rated 55% good to excellent. Pasture condition was rated 35% good to excellent. For the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was cool and dry across Illinois. Rainfall averaged only 0.1 inch and was well below normal for the week. And topsoil moisture levels declined to 8% very short, 17 short, 70 adequate, and 5% surplus. Soybeans were blooming on 93% of acres compared to 89 1 year ago and 90 for the five-year average. 71% of Illinois soybean acres were setting pods compared to 68 normally. Soybean conditions improved from the previous week and were reported as 6% very poor to poor, 16 fair, and 78% good to excellent. 66% of Illinois corn acres had reached the dough stage or beyond. That compares to 63 1 year ago and 62% normally. Just 3% of Illinois corn acres had reached the dent stage compared to 13 normally. Corn conditions also improved and were rated 6% very poor to poor, 15 fair, and 79% good to excellent. Moving on to hay, the third cutting of alfalfa is now 66% finished compared to 44 normally. Pasture conditions were rated 10% very poor to poor, 17 fair, and 73% good to excellent. And in other news, NASS will publish the August crop production report on Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time. This report will contain yield forecasts for corn and soybeans as well as other crops. Thank you to all the producers that responded to this survey. Your individual responses are confidential by law, but the state totals and averages are very important to the agricultural community. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Thunderstorms and light showers provided a welcome sight for some farmers and crops, but dry and hot conditions continued in other areas still in need of rain. There were 6.2 days suitable for field work during the week, and the major field activity included small grain harvesting. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 39% very short, 41% short, 19% adequate, and 1% surplus. Corn in the dough stage reached 44%, that's 4 days behind last year and 1 day behind the average. Corn condition remained at 36%, good to excellent. Soybean setting pods reached 84%, that's 2 days behind last year but 3 days ahead of average. Soybean condition remained unchanged at 34%, good to excellent. Spring wheat harvested reached 76%, that's nearly 3 weeks ahead of last year and the 5-year average. The second cutting of alfalfa hay was 89% complete, and the pasture condition was 35% very poor, 39% poor, 19% fair, 4% good, and 3% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Let's continue in that theme. We'll hear the second part of an interview I did with Frayne Olson this week. He's an agricultural economist at NDSU, North Dakota State University Extension, in Fargo. That's right on the state line with Minnesota. And I asked him what crop conditions look like in the Red River Valley and generally in the northwestern Corn Belt.
You know, we're at a really critical stage now. So obviously the rainfall in particular in the next couple of weeks through the area of the range that you're talking about is going to either make or break the crop. As you get into central and western North Dakota, you know, that's been dry for so long and we've been missing enough of the showers that we're in serious trouble. A lot of that is going to be chopped for silage, or at least they're trying to chop for silage. When you get into kind of the southeast corner of North Dakota, and then as you get into southern Minnesota and even into the northwest Iowa and into to South Dakota, we're right on the bubble. We're right on the edge right now. And there you can see as you're driving considerable variability. If I were to use one word, it's variability in yields. You can drive in if there's an area that's caught in a rain shower and there's a little bit of additional soil moisture that the corn's been able to, or even, well, beans as well, have been able to tap into. It actually looks surprisingly good. And part of it is because it has been so dry, we don't see some of the weed pressure, we don't see some of the disease pressure, even some of the insect pressure that you normally see if you have a lot of rainfall. So, and the other thing is we've got a lot of solar radiation. We haven't had a lot of cloudy days, which makes a difference in the amount of energy the crop is able to absorb and try and put into a yield number. The restriction, of course, is the water and water consumption. And as corn starts filling, that's when the peak water consumption occurs. And so the next several weeks are going to be just critical for that final yield number. So if you see fields that are looking horrible, it's usually because they have a little bit sandier ground, it doesn't have the water holding capacity, or they've missed some of those showers. And the previous crop is that I'm noticing and talking to farmers, the crop you had on that particular tract of land last year is having a huge impact on yield and yield potential. So we're on the bubble right now. If we start to see continued warm temperatures and lack of rain, yield and yield potential is going to drop fairly quickly. We're going to start to see some more tip back coming back in on the corn. Some of those the cobs aren't going to fill. They're not going to be as big. We're going to see some abortions of not only pods, but seeds within pods. You're not going to get the complete pod fill. So we're on the edge right now, and we have been all summer.
Hey, thank you.
It's always good to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Oh, you have a good one.
You too. Stay out of trouble.
I talked with Frayne Olson from NDSU, North Dakota State University Extension, yesterday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Let's look at the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, thanks for being with us. What's the rest of the week look like for the weather across the Corn Belt?
Well, it looks to be like a pretty typical August weather pattern. We've got a mix of summertime warm temperatures and also a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity that, at least here for the next couple of days, is going to be kind of spotty, favoring portions of the central and southern areas of the Corn Belt. As we get into Friday and the weekend, we'll see a little bit of that activity pick up a bit, especially maybe in parts of the Northwest Corn Belt. I think as we get into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, portions of Iowa, eastern Nebraska, parts of Missouri, and eastern South Dakota, and even southern Minnesota will have some better chances of rain.
And if you look further into the month of August, how do things pan out in your opinion so far?
Well, I think there's going to be some interesting things that are going to happen. This is going to be especially true starting mid to late next week and into and through the rest of the month of August, especially when it comes to two things. Number one is I do see some better weather for the Pacific Northwest and maybe some of the other western states helping out with the wildfires a little bit, some cooler temperatures and better chances of rain in southwest Canada and northwestern areas of the United States. That, as a low pressure system comes in next week into that part of the country, what that will do is that will cause an area of high pressure to form in the central and eastern areas of the U.S., making it kind of warm and muggy, but also bringing more rain chances, especially to areas of the western Corn Belt. But it's also going to make the door open, swing open for tropical activity. As we go into the next 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to be hearing more about tropical storm formation, tropical depressions, maybe some hurricane activity in the Gulf of Mexico and in parts of the Atlantic as we go into the second half of August into early September.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. On Tuesdays, we always take a look at the energy market, and we're joined now by Stephen Platt at Archer Financial Services to discuss what's been happening over the last month from his perspective. Can you start with crude oil for me? I think it's had some unique things happen, in particular in the last week or so.
Oh, certainly. The crude oil has been really torn up, really, since the end of July, when they actually came up with an agreement to kind of curb their production controls gradually. They were able to come up with a longer-term plan by agreeing to raising the baseline for certain producers, and particularly the UAE, which was a major holdout at that time, to come up with an agreement. The market reached a high at that point near 75. Since then, we reached a low here at 65.15 on the September crude before recovering today. That was yesterday. So we've taken 14% off this market since then, since the end of July, in crude. Concern over the spread of the Delta variant, particularly in China, the world's largest oil importer, appear to be the underlying catalyst for the sharp move down. The developing belief that inventories, which were expected to come steadily down into the end of the year, might not fall as sharply because of the variant constricting activity and mobility trends in transportation in many areas, not just China, but the U.S., all combined to weigh on values. The economy continues to really remain a source of uncertainty for the longer-term supply-demand prospects. Chinese economy still remains strong, but is seeing some slowing because of government policies, while the U.S. and even India are seeing very strong recoveries, according to the IMF. Now, those could be pulled back if the Delta variant affects our economy more than maybe it has. We still have excess stimulus in our economy, underpinning manufacturing and other wages, including. So all those things have combined to really support the market to some degree, but the variant has posed enough uncertainty with demand prospects that the market has come under a lot of pressure. The product market has also seen some volatility. Nat gas is over $4, and that has gone up while crude has gone down. It's reached levels for summer nat gas that had not been seen since really 2014. The diesel currently is trading near 210 after reaching highs near 220 and has broken down to near $2. Relative to corn, and this is something interesting, one bushel of corn can buy 2.7 gallons of diesel based on the September contract right now. It did get out at one point to as much as 3.2 gallons back when corn was quite strong in the May timeframe. RINs, in terms of renewable ID numbers, are at 180 now. They have come back from around 150. Actually, they got down to as low as 130 when they were talking about changes in the waiver program under the Biden administration. Those were pulled back, and subsequently not much action was taken, allowing that market to come back. And certainly the UN coming out with the report they did on climate change is something to think about in terms of the renewables as well, both biodiesel and ethanol, in terms of possibly seeing increased incentives for their production. So we do have some important reports coming up, and they're all coming up during the WASD report, August 12th. We'll have the OPEC supply-demand numbers coming out on Thursday. You'll also see the International Energy Agency's numbers on supply demand, all big reports. The DOE report comes out tomorrow. They're looking for crude down 1.4, distillate off 0.3, and gasoline off 1.7. So we are seeing those stocks come down at two relatively normal to low levels now in terms of the petroleum complex.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. Joined us here on the closing market report for this Tuesday afternoon on Illinois Public Media.